This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
This episode of On Brand is brought to you by my new book, Brand Now, How to Stand Out in a Crowded, Distracted World. Many former On Brand guests are already raving about Brand Now. Jay Baer calls it the quintessential guide to modern branding. Stacey Grissom of BarkBox says Brand Now provides practical tools and a helpful framework for building a brand both online and off. Learn more, get special extras and additional resources at brandnowbook.com.
Welcome to On Brand, a podcast for brand builders by brand builders. Here's your host, Nick Westergaard of Brand Driven Digital.
Hey, brand builders, have we got a show for you? This week's guest is Kevin Kelly. Kevin is president and founder of Big Buzz Marketing Group, having launched the firm in his Long Island garage in 1995. Today, he oversees the agency's client relationships, develops and innovates its suite of services, and provides the creative vision for long-term growth from the firm's office in Manhattan. Big Buzz Marketing Group is a full-service advertising agency based in New York City's Garment District with clients such as Honeywell, Garanimals, Leviton, Icon Parking, and other major brands. With over 20 years of experience working on multifaceted advertising campaigns, Mr. Kelly's most recent digital advertising projects include designing a digital strategy for New York City's largest parking brand, Icon Parking, and incorporating the geolocation app Waze into their mobile offering. The campaign resulted in navigating customers directly into Icon's garages, who were not necessarily budget-conscious using coupons. They just wanted the convenience and were willing to pay full price. This, paired with other innovative advertising strategies, helped improve the client's visibility. Mr. Kelly also worked on the launch of Honeywell's new smart home security system, creating an advertising campaign combining digital and traditional advertising. He also developed an app strategy for Leviton smart home light products, benefiting both customers and resellers. Kevin, welcome to On Brand.
Thanks for having me. I'm real excited to get into some brand talk with you and see what we have to talk about today.
Absolutely. I have something random off the top of my head.
I like random.
Good. We'll get ready. No, it's actually not that random. It's pretty basic. I think it's something that those in our industry, I have a similar, I'd say, type of path and type of business. And we help others with their marketing and communication strategies. And yet sometimes I think... as agency owners, we struggle with how to talk about our business. And it seems like the term advertising, I think many struggle with today. And I don't know if that's for a good reason. It just, I detect a lot of angst. Well, what's your take on the category that we sit in?
So I think that's a great question. It's something we've been thinking about a lot for the last couple of years, you know, that whole existential crisis of, number one, who we are, who we think we are, who we think we should be, and who we think the clients need us to be. Because and again, a great, great question, because I would move advertising into a more utilitarian position, you know, just like social media, SEM, and it's part of our toolbox, right? I think we're all in marketing, and frankly, we've always been in marketing. Advertising is one of the tools sometimes we don't even get to it. We're doing so much else. And then at the same time, you know, I remember, God, it's got to be a year and a half ago, my creative director walks in one day and he says, "Everybody gather around. I got to tell you something. This is important. Everything is an ad." He got really upset that, you know, we were taking this kind of slapdash approach to some of our social media posts. Like, it's ephemeral. It's going to come and go. But he said, "Okay, so what's a social post, right? Well, it's a headline. The good ones have an image. And sometimes you get to add some long form copy. It's a freaking ad, people. Okay. Don't treat it like anything else." So yeah, advertising is one of our great tools. I've always been excited by the change. I'm going to say I got into the game late, although I've been doing it for 20 years, but I came through the back door through digital. Big Buzz started as kind of an interactive agency. We were building websites and web apps and database apps before they were really called apps. So I never really experienced the heyday of let's shoot a spot for $500,000. Let's, you know, throw 30 million a TV at it and sit back and get our 15%. I just never lived that life. We were always kind of scrappy and we liked building things, right? So, again, great question. I think that advertising should be treated as a tool. And I wish we could, back to the, you know, what do I think our clients think they want? I wish I could not call us an advertising agency, but I don't think the clients are ready for that. I think they, you know, somebody says, "Go put it on an RFP for an ad agency." I don't want to be left out.
I know.
How about you? I'm sure you've been through it too.
Oh, absolutely. And I love that. I love that definition. It's like this weird kind of semantic infinite loop, because you hit all of the nails on the head, because sometimes you don't get to what we would traditionally think of as an ad in client work. Now, what you traditionally think of as an ad, something that you go buy and you placed some traditional type of creative. But with that new definition that your creative director expressed with some exasperation, that definition works, because most of this other stuff that we find ourselves doing that we would say, well, we're not just an advertising agency because of this, if you take it apart, it is an ad. So it kind of does get back to the beginning of the, you know, if we started this infinite loop on, well, maybe we're not an advertising agency because we do so much more and here's all the other stuff we do. And then all of that stuff, what is it? Well, it accomplishes what an ad would. That's just changing today.
Right. I kind of love the change, actually, which people want to tell me to shut up, probably. It's like my friend who runs and says, "I love hills." I'm like, "I hate hills. You're lying." But I actually love the change. I think it gives us an opportunity to kind of continue. Well, kind of forces us to continue to innovate, right? So, so here's another example. So another confusing thing from the client side. And I have great empathy for CMOs and the folks on the client side trying to deal and navigate with the things that they have to navigate. Like, we don't understand some of the stuff we do, and like then they have to explain it to people that have no idea what, you know, somebody in procurement's like giving them the budget. It's like, okay, we need 1,200 staplers, a lot of paper, and 2 million of advertising next year. Okay. It's like, why are you allocating that? But anyway, so putting in the buckets, right? So media versus like now influencers, we're taking chunks, big chunks of media budgets and allocating them towards influencers, influencer content. And people are like struggling with what bucket does that go in? Well, I mean, it's all, if it's reach and there's frequency, it's media. And frankly, I would just say if there's reach, you know, if it's some sort of touch point, I like to throw it in the media category. But I'd be really interested in what your take is on all that and trying to navigate that as well.
Well, I think that, you know, that a lot of things that you just said sound very familiar, from the procurement department wanting this strategy that they have kind of forecasted. I don't really know what to make of those because, again, right. In a perfect world, get to know you and come up with
right.
Our own laundry list of things that actually fits your challenge and who you are
yeah.
and what you need to do. So it is kind of in pieces on all sides, on our side as an industry, on the client side. I feel like one of our top-level jobs anymore, you talk about answering those questions of who we are, who we want to be, who our clients yeah. need us to be. I think those are deceptively simple questions, and I think that, you know, maybe one of our first jobs is really kind of decoding that for clients and potential clients that we talk to.
Yeah, absolutely. They have a tough job, and I'm on one of the committees. We're a 4A's member. The 4A's and the AMA are trying to get together to do what you just said. You said it'd be great if we could get to know you and get to know your problems better. You may not even be asking us the right questions, but I don't know that until I get to know you, learn more about your business, and you kind of open up your kimono a bit and say, here's what's really going on. I don't want to lump you in with staplers and paper. We've got some real complicated challenges growing our business. Like, okay, now we're on the right track. But and AMA and the 4A's are trying to get together on that, and they have done some great work on just that. And like you said, at the beginning of an RFP, here's a list of questions you should ask. And, you know, it was kind of signed off on both sides. The AMA and the 4A's said, yeah, these are great. You know, this is going to help both sides of the table end up with a great relationship. So stuff like that's really important that we keep focused on that.
Absolutely. You talk about some of the varied challenges that we face, and I tease this out a bit in your bio, but it's not. It seems like if it's not a maybe traditional agency ask, what you work to do with Icon Parking seems like a very interesting challenge. That maybe as we look at these bending definitions, I doubt agencies of previous generations might have seen things asking, well, with that kind of a lift to it.
Right. Yeah, if I may, I love to tell that story because it's real indicative of how the advertising marketing world is going. So we all get this flood in our inbox of opportunities and platforms, and this is a new great way to do social listening. And like our promise to our brands is we're going to get through all that stuff and for you, and we're going to bring you the things that we think are really a good fit for you. And here's this. I tell this story because it's a great example of that, because there's so many things for every 99 things that aren't a fit. There's one that's a fantastic fit. So we work with Waze. It's the navigation application that more and more people are using, and they're forgetting that they even have navigation in their car because it's so cool. So scenario use cases, I'm coming into the city. I'm lucky enough. Maybe I got Hamilton tickets. I'm really lucky. And then I stick the address to the theater in, and I'm driving. Well, you can't park at the theater, and whether you know it or not, about 10 minutes before you arrive, Icon's advertisement is going to pop down and say, you know, block and a half away, there's an Icon lot. Would you like to park there? And it's like, oh, wow, I haven't even thought about parking yet. Absolutely. You click it. We are driving customers right into their garages. And on top of that, they haven't had the time or the foresight to go coupon shopping, which is a good, you know, very popular use case when looking for parking. So not only are we driving right into the garage, they're paying full price, but everybody's happy. Like, shoot, if I got Hamilton tickets, I don't mind paying full price for parking. But you know, and we're able to be really accountable with that money and say, look, you spent this, you know, we got this many into your garage. And that's another thing, we like to be as accountable as possible and try and help help with the business processes on the client side to help us match their money spent with sales and growth. So and well, that's that story.
Yeah, well, and I think it's a great story, too, because it does, it segues off of exactly what we were talking about, because I think, you know, where we struggle with the existential crisis of the industry is, okay, we do something, we'd run a whole bunch of ads about a thing, and hopefully some of that works. But really taking a closer look at what that business challenge, what that organizational challenge is, and getting to the heart of that, I think, is what we're able to do with today's tools even better. So I think that sometimes that label of an ad is an easy target because, that's what we used to do. But to channel your creative director again, all of the tactics, all the creative, all the pieces that went into that dynamic you just walked us through also would fit the definition of, I believe you said, a friggin' ad, people.
Exactly, right? And yeah, that dollar spent, you know, that many, that paid advertising that drops down in the app could have sucked and not gotten people to drive through. And all this was a little bit more down to earth and practical, right? You need parking, we have parking. You could have said that. I'm not a copywriter, obviously. Right. But but it's an ad, right? So you have an opportunity to show up as helpful. You know, this is a lot of things that can be communicated with very simple. But yeah, it's kind of all ads and awareness. You're right.
Well, and it does seem that through your work especially, that you're working with a lot of traditional dynamics. Again, parking cars in the city is not a new challenge. But right. We have a new digital ecosystem that we find ourselves in. The Honeywell angle, too, I think you've got another example of a brand that has been around forever, that has a storied history. But again, we've got this new digital ecosystem that we have to infiltrate with brand messages at the right place and the right time. So it seems like that's something of a pattern that seems to follow your team's work.
Yeah, absolutely, and we're real excited about the Honeywell work because it's a fantastic product, and it does actually make people's lives better. So I always like to, you know, align ourselves with brands that are really trying to do that. And it's interesting, you know, we have a so-called 360 plan. That's a word everybody likes to use, but yeah, it's, you know, it's integrated, it's holistic, it's 360. It has about 72 channels. It's, you know, it's not like, wow, we got TV, we got radio. No, there's like 72 different outlets that we are going to engage, report on, optimize. It's such a different world than even 5 years ago, right? So a company like that would have just said, let's do some TV.
Wow. Exactly.
Not anymore, right? And it's even if they said that, we'd probably say, well, we want to do some, that's great, but you know what? Love to get to people right at, you know, in further down the funnel when they're very close to taking the buying action. Not to mention, we can really be accountable for the dollars when we can convert online and watch them click on an ad and proceed through purchase. So that part of it, again, really exciting for us. But it's interesting as my media team and strategy team works through all these different things, from micro influencers to macro influencers to display and SEM balance, right? And how many text ads and display ads and free roll video, and what's the right, you know, the right message for that. And, you know, the funny thing is, the other part is we're seeing more and more of, you've got your brief and your kind of macro campaign, and then that's also supported by anywhere from 1 to 6 other campaigns, which kind of, you know, we started calling them content threads. So when they're on social, you know, we call them content threads. And it was another aha, like, hey, guys, these are campaigns. Like, you can call them something different, but let's call spade a spade. They're campaigns. So, again, a lot more work, a lot of working harder. And I think it's working better. I think it comes a lot from this opportunity to target better. You know, all if we may move into like the data privacy and data transparency issues that have been top of mind, you know, I have a particular take on it. And it's, you know, these people that have been using I think it's called Facebook, right?
I believe that's the name. We can double check that and edit it in post if we need to, if that's the wrong thing.
they've been using this platform for several hours a day for free. And they're like, wait, you're using my data? It's like, do you watch TV? Have you ever seen a commercial? It's just like, ignorance is not an excuse for being upset about someone getting paid for what they do. I mean, how many hundreds of millions that Zuckerberg's team spends keeping that platform cool and relevant? And yes, it does change your newsfeed sometimes to favor the advertisers. But again, that's how, you know, there's no free lunch. That's how we're paying for this thing that you post your lunch and your grandchildren and your prom night. So I get a little upset when the whole world is up in arms over it. Yes, there was some mismanagement and they have to watchdog it closer and be even more transparent. You know what I'd like to see that's really doable and manageable? If you surveyed 100 people and asked them how many times they clicked on a terms and conditions checkbox in the last month and how many times they even read the first three words, right? I think brands and platforms, they shouldn't be required to say, we know you're not going to read this. Here's three things that are pretty important that are embedded in here. Do you still want to click the checkbox? Like, it's just become irrelevant. That's the one thing that has bothered me about data and permissions. And like, I'd love to see if anyone's able to enforce, well, he clicked the checkbox.
It does seem like something that you could study and probably get to the bottom of some horrifying fact as a result of how few read that. But I do. The creative writing side of me likes the idea of, granted, it would probably only be accomplished with more legislation, but if you required some sort of no BS clause, like you have to have three bullet points of this many words or less that says, here's what's actually in here. The most salient points.
Yeah. It's just become silly and irrelevant, but I still click them.
I know.
I told her on Strava this morning, and I know she clicked the checkbox and said, I agree.
So we were when we were talking earlier, you mentioned being accountable for the dollars. And I think that that's really interesting. You went on to talk about the Honeywell plan, saying 360, integrated, holistic, all very close to one another. And I was about to call the cliche police on you until you said 72 different outlets. So what does – you talk about being accountable for the dollars. On 72 different outlets, the measurement and optimization alone sounds like a Herculean task.
Yeah, it really is. I am blown away by the team and what they do. And we have a really vetting process for new candidates and excellent retention here. We make sure that everybody loves to do what they do. Like some of the SEM people here, all they do is look at bidding and evaluate optimization, and they are just staring. It's like, I guess like a day trader, you know, right? So, but those particular folks love doing that, you know, and the folks that are more in strategy said they would slit their wrist if they had to do that. So right people in the right positions. And another thing that I'll acknowledge as, you know, kind of a mid-sized agency, we now have the scale that allows us to employ a host of really great platforms that help us manage all this. And that was hard. I sympathize with, you know, where we were just a couple of years ago and where tons of agencies are, you know, where you just working really hard when you could be working a little smarter if you could underwrite the cost of all the tools that make it, you know, allow you to work smarter. So that's a tough challenge. And I definitely want to acknowledge that. And we've been fortunate enough to have the growth we need to support those. But so those 72 platforms might be, I mean, we have a tools page in our pitch deck, and it's got like upwards of like 15 to 20 primary tools that we use. So, you know, all of them aren't used daily, but there's certainly a half a dozen, you know, 6 to 10 that are employed all day long, every day, from listening to buying to rectifying to optimizing. So if I wanted to offer anyone advice, it's like find the tools that help you work smarter, because most of us are working pretty long already.
Well, and I'd say that those team members, that's a very different skill set too than what we've been hiring in, or what we used to hire in traditional agency settings. These analytics types, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's hard. I mean, we have one of our brand client partners that we're trying to help fill a position, and it actually, I think, two in the last, between, you know, a couple of different client partners, two in the last few months, and they're really struggling. It's hard. Right fit client hiring, or right fit employee hiring is such a huge deal. We actually touch a lot on that when we do culture design for the brands we work with. We talk about, you know, okay, well, culture happens, but you should control that. And once you have a real good sense of that and structure it, you hire for that. And you're totally transparent about, look, you got all the skills, but here's our culture. Here's who we are. Here's how we operate every day. Does that fit for you? Is that something you can thrive in? Or are you going to be annoyed by, for instance, open bullpen setup and occasional Friday, you know, fireball Friday basketball games in the other side of the bullpen or whatever it may be? I also hear horror stories of people hiring the, 22-year-old social media person because they're really into social media, and it's just horrible. So paying attention to who you hire and having a deeply designed vetting system is crucial.
Yeah. I would say that is probably the biggest challenge beyond the changing trends, changing technology, right, and the evolution of our industry's existential crisis is the people, the culture, and finding the fit that works for your organization, and to come full circle, that the culture that fits those three questions, that was one of the first things that you said: who we are, who we want to be, and who our clients need us to be, because that makes your staffing assignment pretty clear.
Right. Absolutely. And then all we are is our people at the end of the day, right? We're a service business. Yes, vision of leadership, but you have the people that can deliver every day. And that's all we are.
That is awesome. Kevin, as we start to wrap things up, it is my job to ask you for a brand that has made you smile recently.
That's a great question. And I probably don't take note often enough because I go through my ad age two spots, and the ones that make me chuckle and the ones that make me tear up. But as well, there's two. I'm a diehard planet helper, and I want to move us forward, not backwards. And I drive a solar powered Tesla, and that car, which I guess could be considered that brand, although they don't spend a freaking nickel on marketing, it's amazing. Every time that car goes into autopilot, I just smile because it's like, wow, this is, now I can do things. The car's driving. Like, for years I thought, this is such a silly thing. I'm steering the car. There's lines, there's sensors. Just do it for me, and it did. But on the advertising side, as a parent of two graduating daughters, one from college, one from high school, they had a great spot. I think it was just called Graduate, and it was the parents going about life, and they're sitting in the audience as they watch their daughter cross the stage and graduate. And of course they keep flashing back to screaming at her, like, and her wearing her dirty clothes and in the wrong spot, and this idea that, you know, life and their brands are so closely tied to happiness and just the, as well as the mundane and routine and getting through every day. So it's really well done. So I think that would be Whirlpool. That's worth looking up, especially, it was very timely for this time of year.
Awesome example, and a great, great reminder of how great brands like Tesla find ways to align themselves with our lives and our life moments too.
Yeah, yeah.
Kevin, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
Sure. BigBuzz.com is where the agency website is. I will be happy to give out my email address, kevin@bigbuzz.com. I have, I think you might be a mutual friend. I saw you may have a mutual connection with Peter Shankman, who I will give credit give credit for the 20-minute coffee. I subscribe to his. I'll take 20 minutes to have a coffee with anybody, anywhere. Just reach out. I'm happy to do that. And, you know, I've been very fortunate, and I'm happy to kind of pay it forward that way. So Kevin@BigBuzz.com. Also Twitter and Instagram @BigBuzzKev. Hope to hear from you.
Awesome. Well, we will link up to all of that in our show notes. Kevin, thank you for joining us on Brand.
Nick, thanks so much. It's been a blast.
And before we go, I always like to flip the microphone around to our community. Recently, Adam Bermwood gave the show a shout-out on Twitter after seeing me speak at the AMA event in Lincoln. Got started with our episode featuring Jason Miller from LinkedIn. Thanks, Adam, for listening. And a reminder, if you like something that you heard on this episode or another, if you have a question you'd like one of our guests to answer, let me know using the hashtag OnBrandPodcast, and you may just hear your thoughts right here on the show. On Brand is a production of Brand Driven Digital, helping complex organizations simplify their branding and marketing to unlock growth. More, including the links we discussed on this episode, at branddrivendigital.com. You can subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Speaking of iTunes, if you like what you're hearing, if you want to pay it forward, give us a quick rating and review. Help others find the show. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This has been the On Brand Podcast, presented by Brand Driven Digital. For show notes, links, and more, go to onbrandpodcast.com. Remember, you can subscribe to the show and leave a rating and review at iTunes and Stitcher. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.